All right, linazolid. This one is an important one to remember for when you get to MedSurg. Depending on the floor you're on, you might see quite a bit of this prescribed and used. It's a newer class of antibiotic. It's used for VRE and MRSA. What is VRE? Vancomycin-resistant enterobacter. So we actually have bacteria that are resistant to vancomycin. So in order to kill those bacteria, we use Zyvox or linazolid. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, PKU. What is PKU? Okay, what is phenylketonuria? Okay, so your body can't break down phenylalanine properly, so you get a buildup of phenylketones. And the phenylketones cause problems. Now, once a person is an adult, the problems aren't that bad. But if it's a kid, they can end up with severe brain damage, which is irreversible. So with oral dosing, you don't want to give this to patients with PKU. Can cause myelosuppression, which suppresses myelin growth of the no, that's not right. Myelosuppression means bone marrow suppression of the myeloid cells, so you can have anemia.
So when you say PKU with oral dosing, that means
caution. Don't use it.
Don't
use it if they have PKU. Right. It can cause PKU problems. Now, this last one is one we need to remember because this is an important one. Mild MAO inhibition. Tell me, what is MAO? Monoamine, you got that part, right? Oxidase. So, monoamine oxidase. And what is the purpose of monoamine oxidase? Very good. That's a good technique. Yawn instead of answering. This is so easy, I guess I have to yawn. Nope, nothing to do with complement. Inactivate neurotransmitters. Which neurotransmitters? Epinephrine and norepinephrine. So monoamine oxidase, the purpose of this is to destroy epinephrine and norepinephrine. Now, if it inhibits MAO, what does that mean is going to be going on in your body? There's extra epinephrine and norepinephrine running around, which is going to tend to make a person feel maybe a little hopped up, a little anxious, a little tachycardic. Now, what happens if we add on, let's say, some Sudafed? What is that going to do? It's going to make it even worse. So remember, Sudafed is called a sympathomimetic. It acts like epinephrine and norepinephrine. So patients who are on MAO inhibitors cannot have sympathomimetics. If you have a cold, sorry, suck it up. If you have allergies, well, you can have the Allegra, but you can't have the D part. Question?
On the quiz, it says only pick two, but three of them are late. But if you pick PKU and then one of the other two, you get it wrong.
Okay, I'll have to take a look at that question. Now, the other thing is we want to avoid tyramine-containing foods because tyramine will also cause problems with MAO inhibitors. Now, what are tyramine-containing foods?
Chocolate,
coffee, cheese, wine,
nuts,
basically everything that makes life worth living. So you definitely need to remember wine, cheese, coffee, and chocolate. And nuts, sure. I don't think nuts will be on the test if there's a question on this. Wine, cheese, coffee, and chocolate. There's others too, but those are the biggies. All right, rarer drugs. These two drugs right here, and these, dalfopristin, these three, I don't don't just cross them out altogether. We're not going to do those. What you do need to know is the top and the bottom one. The top one is called chloramphenicol, potential for fatal aplastic anemia. What's aplastic anemia? That's pancytopenia. It's a form of aplastic anemia, yes. When you just don't produce new blood cells. So, potential for what kind of aplastic anemia?
Fatal.
As a result, we only use it when there's no other option. We've run out. There's nothing else we can do.
Is that like for like cancer patients?
Sometimes, yes.
Like where their immune system's gone anyway.
Mm-hmm. All right, the last one you need to know is mupirocin, also known as Bactroban. It's not on yours? How gauche. That's okay. Take a moment, write it if you don't have it. The last one, mupirocin. Also known as Bactroban. Yes, ma'am? Well, the problem with that is if you just give erythropoietin, you could end up killing them because their blood becomes too viscous. Bactroban. Bactroban. What? Sure. It works on a lot of things. But what I want to mention here is that it works on MRSA. It's the only ointment that we have that works on MRSA. All right. Now we're going to move on to bactericidal inhibitors of protein synthesis. So these inhibit protein synthesis, but they don't just slow the growth, they actually kill the bacteria. And this is going to be the aminoglycosides. All right, now, general stuff about all the aminoglycosides. They are narrow spectrum. They primarily work against aerobic gram-negative bacilli. They cannot kill anaerobes because oxygen is needed to uptake the aminoglycoside in the first place. They are highly polar. Now, what does that mean to you? They are very charged. And because they're charged, how do we have to give them? We cannot give them PO.
So it's IV.
So it's IV. Yeah, but next time you need to like say it more clearly.
So you heard what I said, right?
No. That's why I said murmur back. Murmur. All right. They are not absorbed in the GI tract. They also do not enter the cerebrospinal fluid, and they are very rapidly excreted by the kidneys. So they have very short half-life, which means you have to give them a couple times a day. Oh, they just love that 30S ribosomal subunit. It ends up in the production of abnormal proteins. Those abnormal proteins then cause death of the bacteria. They also keep working after you stop giving the antibiotic, which is kind of interesting. They call that the post-antibiotic effect. Resistance is caused by the bacteria producing an enzyme that destroys the aminoglycoside before it has a chance to work. Aminoglycosidase? All right. Okay. You got the first line? Any questions? So, we can use it IV. For serious infections, for Pseudomonas and Enterobacter are the usual ones. Now, because it's not absorbed PO, we can give it to a person PO, and it will work where? In the GI tract. So sometimes they'll give it to a person PO as a prep for bowel surgery. So before they get a colon resection or a polypectomy or some other bowel surgery, sometimes they'll give it to them orally, and it will only affect the bowels. Now, you can also use them topically. Neomycin is the one you're probably most familiar with. How many of you ever used Neosporin sometime in your life? And that's usually for skin, eyes, and ears. And then we also can use gentamicin and tobramycin in the eyes for conjunctivitis. Okay. All right. Important thing here. Binds to renal tissues like crazy. So the concentration is 50 times higher in the kidneys than it is in the rest of your body. Also crosses into the lymph of the inner ear. So what do you think are the two major toxicities of aminoglycosides? So renal problems or nephrotoxicity and ototoxicity. There's a lot of interpatient variation, which means you have to monitor the levels carefully. When do you draw blood for a trough level? Right before the next dose. When do you check blood for a peak level? 60 minutes for vanco, because that's how long it takes to put it in. So these, I think, you give over 30 minutes, so it would be right after you finish the IV, whenever that is. All right, now, ototoxicity is associated with high trough levels. So I'm going to draw something on the board for a moment. All right, if I give the drug, what happens when I first give it? You get a nice big spike, and then what happens over time? It drops back down, and then you give another one. Now, if I give, say, just once a day, it might look like that, right? Now, what happens if I give it three times a day? So let's say it comes back up to here, and then I give it again, and then I give it again. Which one of these is more likely to cause ototoxicity? Okay, because remember we said it's associated with high trough levels. So this giving it several times a day is going to be more likely to cause ototoxicity than giving one big dose and then letting it go down lower. So as a result, we're going to dose them less frequently but give higher doses when we do give a dose. Make sense? Now, two types of ear damage. Cochlear is going to cause tinnitus. What is tinnitus again? Ringing in the ears and hearing decline. So the person is not going to be able to hear you as well. I can see your lips moving, but I can't hear the words. I've been abused in the ear by Nurse Sansone. Vestibular damage is going to cause headaches, nausea, and vertigo. Ooh. Now, nephrotoxicity can result in acute tubular necrosis. And that's going to be caused by the cumulative dose, the total dose that they've been given over a period of time. We're talking the entire course of treatment. So if they've been on treatment for 3 days, however much they've gotten over that 3 days would be their cumulative dose. It can also cause neuromuscular blockade, which can cause paralysis, but that's not nearly as common. If you mix it with penicillin, what does it cause? Causes a rock, and we don't want that going into their veins. Interacts with other drugs that are ototoxic and nephrotoxic. So what kind of antibiotic would we not want to put this patient on while they're on an aminoglycoside? vancomycin, because vancomycin is also ototoxic and nephrotoxic. Because of this neuromuscular blockade, you don't want to put them on skeletal muscle relaxants at the same time, because then you get a floppy person, more likely to fall. Okay, now, for knowing what you know about the dosing and about toxicities, which of these are we going to give? Single daily dose. Okay. The three drugs you need to remember. First one is gentamicin, second one is tobramycin, and the third one is amikacin. Now, gentamicin is kind of a general use one. It's been around the longest. It's got low cost, it's cheap, but the resistance is the most common to it. Tobramycin, basically the same thing, except you're going to have less activity against Enterobacter, but more against Pseudomonas. You can also get this inhaled for cystic fibrosis. Tell me, what is cystic fibrosis? Okay, it can cause that. What is cystic fibrosis? Not exactly. Well, it's a disease that's caused by choosing the wrong parents. And what happens is you don't have the proper functioning chloride gates. So because of that, it's hard for you to absorb fluids. So it makes it so the person gets excess lung secretions, is how they usually end up dying, is dying from pneumonia. So they have this very thick, tenacious, nasty, gooky mucus that gets colonized by bacteria. And we have an inhaled version that we can use for patients with cystic fibrosis. And then amikacin has the broadest action of all and is the least likely to be resisted.
Is that really expensive?
Say again?
Is that really expensive?
It is a lot more expensive. Now, there are some less common ones. Now, actually, neomycin is quite common, but it's over-the-counter, not in the hospital. Streptomycin is the first one that we'd ever discovered, and we use it to treat tuberculosis still today.
So what are the main ones we need to know?
These three.